This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with John Wells. This next segment is for all of you powder dogs in the area. Our next guest is Michael Ruzek, also known as the Powder Boy, or maybe the man behind the Powder Boy. Michael predicts snowstorms in the Wasatch back 2 weeks in advance by watching NOAA Buoy 51101 off the coast of Kauai. Michael's figured out that when this buoy hits a certain swell height, a winter storm will hit some 2 weeks later and about 3,000 miles away, give or take, the Park City latitude. Or higher or lower. Good morning to you, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Lynn. Good morning.
So you were saying that you started this over a decade ago, just checking out the powder buoy for yourself and
That's
making
right.
your own calculations. How did it first come to your attention?
You know, I had a client of mine who spent half the year in Hawaii and half the year here, and he was really into surfing and Hawaiian canoe racing and whatnot, and so Hawaiian 1 and 2 are really prominent buoys in Hawaii for swells coming into the North Shore and some other surf breaks. And so he noticed that there was this correlation and told me about it randomly and during a meeting. And so I started following it back then. And so this would be 2004, give or take, and noticed that there was this correlation and really have started planning my winter work schedule as much as I can around it, where if I know that, say, 2 weeks from now, on a Tuesday, Wednesday, there might be a storm, I'll kind of block out that morning so I can go skiing up here or wrap around into Little Cottonwood for a few hours and then be back in the office by noon. So, and then it's kind of morphed from there. So,
I wonder if most weather prognosticators would, or forecasters, would block out their work schedule, if they would trust their own forecast enough to do that. But certainly you do. And why is that? I mean, you combine it with some of the University of Utah atmospheric science data as well. And so you've come up with a pretty accurate prediction.
So all of this has really been kind of heaven sent to a certain degree, where heard about the buoy years ago, started tracking it. Then the Utah weather info came from a random happenstance meeting at White Pine Touring, where someone mentioned that I should look at this information for some closer in data. And so I started looking at that. And so just like everything with the buoy, it's been really word of mouth. And to echo what I just told JW earlier, that it's kind of a grandma's toe type of thing, but it seems to work and works well enough for me, and it's fun. And I love hearing from people all around the country and around Utah that they'll plan their ski trips around it, or they had fun because of it, and it's great.
Well, you've become a bit of a celebrity, and
that's a strong word.
and you told a story the last time we saw you about sitting on a chair in the canyons, and you, I think, were saying, "Gee, I wish there was some powder to ski today." And the guy sitting next to you, who you didn't know, said, "Well, you got to watch the powder buoy."
Right. That was Davey Ratchford. Now he's the GM at Snow Basin. And I got a kick out of that. And I got an email or a text from a friend who was in Detroit on a flight, I think back here. And he heard someone in front of him talking about the buoy and saying that I was, this meteorologist in Utah. And so he was quick to correct him, saying that he's a barroom meteorologist, not an actual meteorologist, but which is true. I'm by no means a meteorologist, but this is just fun, and it seems to work more than not, so that's good enough for me.
Lynn, we could have some fun with this. We could start some rumors about Michael's ability to be able to predict presidential elections. And
there's always some connection. Don't they always bridge that gap?
They do.
The one who predicted the recession can also predict.
David Letterman had this dog that the way he would pick up a Frisbee, if he picked up the blue Frisbee, the stock market was going to go up or something like that. But
I think he had a cow that would either go in and out of the barn as well.
So off the East Coast, there are a lot of NOAA buoys as well. There's an elaborate array of them everywhere. Are there any buoys? Has anybody looked at the relationship between a buoy on the East Coast and weather patterns in Europe?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I would assume that people are looking at these data points. Real meteorologists are looking at these data points to assess. And actually, I do know that I spoke to an individual who was in the Norwegian, I believe, military, and they did use buoy data somewhere east of Norway for when they were up doing Lord knows what.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were using it in some form or fashion, but I couldn't speak to how it's being used today.
Now, one of the things that happens when we get a weather forecast and we are just counting on this huge 18 inches that's going to be dumped into the Wasatch, it will go north or south. And last year, boy, it all seemed to go north, didn't it? Montana had a great snowpack. We had one of the worst years on record. Are you getting to the point where you've honed in your skill enough in looking at wind direction and swell and everything on the buoy that you start to make a prediction about, I think it's going to go more north?
So I haven't, frankly, taken the time yet to look at the wind direction and wind speed. I've had some friends that have looked at it and are willing to look deeper into that. But what I essentially do is the buoy is really just a marker 2 weeks out. And then I start looking at Utah, the Atmospheric Sciences website, and some other data points that'll look out a week, give or take. And there you can see, I will look at Alta and their Collins weather station. And if things start shifting from there, then I'll start looking at whether it's maybe Jackson or Big Sky or Monarch, Colorado, or other areas in Colorado to see, okay, where did the storm go? And then from there you can kind of, like, okay, it went around and it's going to hit Jackson this time versus direct shot on us.
Right. So last week's, earlier this week's storm, I mean, the bulk of it hit, wasn't it, Sunday and into Monday.
Right.
What did that look like for you? What were you posting on Facebook? And by the way, you have a really fun Facebook page, The Powder Buoy. What did you see for that? Was it surprising to you that we got so much snow?
So the initial buoy pop, and this is something that I haven't, it changes as well. So I used to think that the velocity or the scale of change in the actual, so if the swells were at 5 feet and they go to 18 feet, let's say, that would be an indicator of the strength of the storm. And it doesn't really appear that is necessarily always the case. So in this case, there was definitely a prolonged multi-day elevation in the swells. And then looking at the Utah information from the U of U, then it became clear that we were going to get hit with this storm. And early on, it looked at like about 30 some odd inches cumulative, which is about what we got. And one of the things that's nice as well, looking at these different plumes, is you can see, so for example, the first shot of this storm came in as a south-southwest, from the south-southwest, which favors Deer Valley. And so went skiing at Deer Valley on Sunday as opposed to the mad dash to Alta and dealing with traffic. And so even though I know that Alta might have had some more snow by the end of the day, I was pretty happy with my Deer Valley choice that day.
My friends in Tamarindo, Costa Rica, that are surf dogs, they look at wave heights in Hawaii, and I think it's like 25 or 26 days. I mean, they have this thing figured out as well, as far as wave heights and directions and stuff like that, and they can anticipate wave heights in Costa Rica. So I thought that was pretty interesting. When that particular buoy pops, how high does it go? Is it just several feet? Is it 20 feet?
So it depends. Sometimes, so for example, the buoy pops that hit yesterday and today went from 4 to about 10 or 11 feet, but I've seen as high as 24 feet. So it just really depends on a couple of things. One, the level of the low pressure system that's coming, because really what that is it's showing a low pressure coming through the area, and it also is showing the wind and winds, because the more wind you have, the higher those swells and wave heights will go as well. So you're showing a couple of different things there. So that's where I think if there was some time, or if I could find an intern, if you're interested, let me know. To really look into this data, I think we could pinpoint it a little bit more as well.
Well, I like that. I also like these, you know, grandma's toe, some of these things that have been around for forever. Do you look at any of these other superstitious type events?
Early in the year, those usually come out in October or so, when everyone's trying to prognosticate as to what our winter is going to look like. And so I noticed the pine cones and how many squirrels were squirreling away acorns and things like that. And, you know, but whether or not how accurate that stuff is, you know, who knows?
Yeah, like the Farmer's Almanac. How right. do they prognosticate? Do you know? I mean, I'm sure your interest has been sharpened a bit on all of this.
It has been, definitely. And I get questions constantly. Even just today, I got received two different emails from people as to extrapolating on what a high pressure means versus low pressure, and how to analyze the U of U weather data. And to a great degree, I have a general knowledge, but I didn't have a real in-depth knowledge. And so as people ask these questions, then I go out and research and look up as much as I can. So I'm learning as it goes along as well.
I have a friend in town who unfortunately just broke his femur and has a rod in his leg now, as of last, 4 or 5 months ago, Dave. And he was telling me the other day that he now feels in his leg, you know, low pressure when it's coming in. And that was really new to him. Another friend of mine in town has had some sort of metal in her leg for decades. And she's always telling me when there's a storm coming in, which is another one of the grandma's toes sorts of prognostication. But that's also, I mean, it's accurate, right? They can feel low pressure.
Right.
And there's an indication that something's coming.
And that it's all about that low pressure and coming right in. So whether it's the toe or the knee or an ankle or femur, we just want the snow to come is what it comes down to.
I know that Brian McInerney's been taking a macro approach to some of his analysis in looking at patterns from a much larger perspective. So the buoy pop might be on a day-to-day basis. He's looking at data over months and things like that, and that's pretty interesting too.
It is, and I've had quite a few conversations with Brian over the years, and it is interesting how temperature of the weather of the water in certain areas will affect. So with like the El Nino and La Nina cycles, for example, and that's a lot of, I think, of what Brian looks at, or at least one piece of what Brian looks at. And these all of these patterns have been changing as our climate's been changing as well. And so who knows, you know, this might work now, and it might not work 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. So we'll see.
You've been very clear from the beginning that this is fun, that you're just trying to have some fun with this.
That's right.
And it used to help you, as you would try to plan your time so that you could get some skiing and get a little advance notice. But a lot of people take this so seriously that they kind of give you a hard time, don't they? Some people?
There was a point last year where I did get a hard time from one specific group, and we've made our peace with that. And and essentially it was a kind of a meteorology crowd. And their take, which I agree, people don't take meteorology as seriously as they would like them to, whether it be, hey, there's a tornado coming or a hurricane coming, you should probably get out of the way or pack up and leave, and people will stay in place or whatnot. And so this person's point was that nobody takes us seriously as it is, and the last thing we need is someone out there with this Yahoo science, you know, making it worse for us. And my retort was, well, this is really about fun, and it seems to work more than not. And what's really the worst thing that's going to happen is someone's going to go skiing with their friends or family. They're going to be outside, and maybe it didn't snow, but they're still outside, still having a good time and having a great time. So
But this wasn't connected to the three guys that were handcuffed to the buoy without sunscreen off the coast of Hawaii. You had nothing to do with that.
Not yet, no. It might happen.
We're speaking with Michael Ruzek. He is the man behind the powder buoy. And it is funny, Mike, that I've known you a long time, and I've known about the powder buoy for a long time. Until a year or two ago, I didn't know that it was yours. Do you try to sort of, you know, keep that clandestine in some way?
You know, I like the fact that it has its own identity. And so maybe it's kind of like Kiss. You don't really know who they are. I mean, now you do, but people at that time didn't know who they were. And so I don't know. I think it's fun enough that it has its own, it can have its own identity.
Now, you might not have an intern, but you do have a powder lab.
I do, Mako. So Mako spends much of the summer, summer too, but spends a lot of time up at Alta. And he's part of the McReynolds family. And so they started sending me pictures of Mako out in the snow. And I thought it was kind of fun to get kind of a now cast from Mako as the official snow lab report. And based on, whether it's up to his paw, it might be paw deep or might be hawk deep or single lab overhead or double lab overhead. So we're just kind of having fun with it. Or if it's snowing out, there's snow on him. So he's the official snow lab.
I can't believe the recent photo you posted a couple days ago, I think it was. That is, it's overhead, approaching overhead.
Oh, yes.
It's incredible.
Yep. He loves his, he's got some of those buoy floaty deals that you use for training dogs for duck hunting and things like that, that he throws out there.
So we've got the buoy. Keep our eye on that. But you also complement all this with the Atmospheric Sciences website from the University of Utah.
Right.
What data do you grab from there? And is that to fine-tune something out a week, or is that from when the buoy pops, you start looking at it?
So it's a week out, and again, that came from a heads-up from somebody at White Pine. And it was really just to add in some more fine-tuned data. And frankly, I look at a lot of Evans data on open snow or Wasatch snow forecast as well. Mm-hmm. They're the real scientists that are actually doing a lot of the work behind this. But it's the NAEFS downscaled info on the Utah site. And again, they have data points from Alta to Jackson, Big Sky, all over Colorado. And so if I see that a storm is shifting from here, then I'll start poking around and seeing where it might land.
The analysis of big data over time has been fascinating. And so someone found this relationship with surfing and with waves, and you were able to extend that to the snow piece 3,000 miles away. It just makes you curious about what other possibilities are out there for relationships that we're not currently looking at. So.
Right. And I've looked at some other, whether there could be a connection to the Sierras or to the Pacific Northwest and other buoys, that's a work in progress right now. But the thing I really love about this buoy is the fact that it's a connection of soul sports, where there are surfers in Hawaii that are literally looking at the same data point that we're looking at here. And I look at view surfing and skiing / snowboarding as soul sports. And so I love that connection.
It's a good one. I just wanted to mention it's weather.utah.edu where you go.
That's right.
The site you were just talking about. And then you go into the NAEFS downscaled and then plume. And then you look at the Alta Collins page. But then that's where
that's the starting point.
Get all of the other, if you want to go north, Big Sky or Jackson or wherever. So, it's good stuff. Mike Ruzek, the powder buoy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And you can find all this stuff on powderbuoy.com or on my Facebook or Instagram page as well.
All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you.
Take care.